Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What if everyone was turning their head to look at you with a brand new Flowmaster exhaust system from Exhaust Pro in Macomb on Georgia Avenue? Cruise in style with Exhaust Pro of Macomb on Georgia Avenue.
It's a great time to live in Mississippi, and we're talking about it. Welcome to the Ricky Matthews Show on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome to the Ricky Matthews Show from the Citizens Bank Studio. I appreciate you joining us as we continue to celebrate all the amazing people across the state of Mississippi who are working so hard to make this such a great place to live, work, and play. Hey, listen, if you're a regular listener of this show, you know that I kind of grew up in music, played drums, started when I was like in fourth or fifth grade, played drums all my life. And you know, my mom was a piano teacher. And, played piano in church. And I took a little bit of lessons from her, but I learned to kind of bang on the piano. And because I was around a lot of musical people most of my life, it was something that you know, music's always important to me, a wide range of music. And it's fitting that as I talk about music in Mississippi, that I always remind people that this is really the birthplace of American music. I mean, think about it. The king of rock and roll is from here, the father of country music, and the king of blues, all from Mississippi. And you've got, you know, bands like Rolling Stones and Beatles. You think about Eric Clapton and, I mean, a long list of others that have been influenced so greatly by the blues scene in Mississippi. It's, you know, when you focus on it, it's significant. And then you have emerging. You have the standards that are there, and they're passing it on, especially in the blues scene in Mississippi, and new, incredibly gifted writers and musicians that are emerging in the blues scene that are popular all around the world, for that matter. They're winning Grammys. They're doing incredible work, but it all traces back to the Mississippi Delta. And the Mississippi Delta, as you know, I spent a lot of time there. I love that place. And any opportunity I get to talk about the music, the Blues Trail, and how it sort of defines as the largest open-air museum, maybe in the United States, the opportunity we get to chat about the music scene in Mississippi is always one I really enjoy. And, you know, there's a really interesting event coming up called the Delta Rising event on April the 27th. We'll be talking more about that as we go forward. But I wanted to invite singer-songwriter and musician John Mohead to join me here on the show so we could talk just about his love of music, but also this Delta Rising event that's coming up in April. Without any further ado, let me welcome John to the conversation. How you doing, my friend?
Good. Glad to be here. Appreciate you having me.
It's good to see you too, man. So tell people where you're sitting right now.
I am in my home office on the banks of Moon Lake, which as the crow flies, I'm probably about a mile from the muddy Mississippi River. You know, Moon Lake was actually part of the main channel of the river up until that earthquake hit back in 1812. So,
yeah,
I can always say I live on the banks of an ancient river, you know.
You know, it's interesting. You look at the history of the Mississippi River and all these twists and turns and rerouting that occurred over so many years. And then, of course, the Corps of Engineers comes in and, you know, because this is one of the most important navigable waterways in the entire world, you know. Yeah. But, these oxbows that were created along the way have created some wonderful communities and sense of place. And Moon Lake's just one of them, isn't it?
It's one of many. I think someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Moon Lake is the largest natural lake in the in the state of Mississippi. You know, Barnett and, you know, Arcabala, you know, Sardis, they're all man-made. So, it's an oxbow lake in the true form. You know, it's shaped like a, you know, half moon.
Hey, so look, we're going to come back to the Delta Rising event, but just so that people have a sense of where we're headed, we'll fill in between you giving sort of the elevator speech on Delta Rising to a more detailed conversation a little bit later. In between, I want to talk a little bit about where you come from, but tell us about the event. What's the elevator story on the event?
Delta Rising is a celebration of the food music and art of the Mississippi Delta. It's we don't have white coat chefs, you know, preparing food. We've got grandmothers that, you know, have had recipes passed down for generations, and they're, you know, they're cooking what they were shown and told, and how it affected their family. And, you know, some of it's simple food, some of it's not. We have Lebanese food, we have kibbe, we have grape leaves, we have John Wong is doing some Chinese, he's doing pork skins, fried pork skins, and cracklings. And we get into the yin and yang of cracklings versus pork skins later. But it's like everything is represented, you know. It's, the Mississippi Delta is no different from the Bronx, you know, with the melting pot of cultures. But it's just, you know, we can't hide in buildings, in 12-story buildings or, you know, 4-story brownstones. We have to get along with each other, and we have to interact with each other. And that's influenced our food, and that's influenced our music, and that's influenced our culture, you know, everyone's. And, you know, the whole story with hot tamales, you know, the Mexican migrants in the turn of the century brought their version of tamales. The Italian immigrants, especially around Greenville, they had their spices and the way they did things. And then the African Americans influenced on it, and we got a Delta Hunt tamale. And they will be represented at the Delta Rising show also.
You know, that it's so, and we'll get into some of the artists here in just a second, but you're so right about the Delta. When people think of the Delta, they may not really understand how many of these influences you talked about have influenced the way people, you know, the culture in the Mississippi Delta, certainly the food in the Mississippi Delta. I have two of my dearest friends in the Mississippi Delta. They're Lebanese Catholic, and that Lebanese cooking is really passed down through their families, and it is it's good. It's really good. And one of the farms that all the farms I lease are from the same family, and some of the leaders in this company and in their farming company, one of them is from Texas, but he's Mexican heritage. And he lives in a house near, you know, literally next door to the house that I lease. And his name is Miguel. And when they cook, man, they're authentic Mexican food, buddy. It is incredible how good it is. I mean, you know, when their hot tamales are not what you're used to, and you know, their enchiladas are not what you. I mean, this is authentic. Yeah. One of my favorite places to go is a place called Big Daddy's in Soul Food in Chula. And, you know, he'll get that grill going and grill some of the best chicken and ribs you've ever eaten. And the side vegetables are incredible. And they're extraordinarily welcoming. That's the other thing that I would say. You know, I mean, it's a mostly African-American community. And we go there and he gives us a hug. And it's, you know what I mean? That describes the Mississippi Delta, doesn't it, my friend?
That's it. I mean, yeah, you just did it. Yeah.
So tell us about where you come from. How did you get so interested in music?
You know, I played sports all my life, and I broke an ankle. I think I was a junior, and the manager of the football team played guitar, and actually knew Conway Twitty, whose mother actually lived on Moon Lake. So, since I couldn't practice, he started showing me chords, and that's how that bug started. I got out of high school, went to Delta State, you know, had some songs picked up by a publisher in Nashville, and I was gone. And, the bug really, you know, set deep at that point. And, I wrote a couple of songs that were in the top 20 for other artists. And then I got a deal with Rounder Records and became, quote unquote, you know, the artist, and toured the world, you know, everybody's opening acts. When I opened up for Bob Dylan, though, that's when I said, you know what, I probably will never win a Grammy. But it's like, you know, playing with Dylan, that, you know, it's like, that's my Grammy. It's like I could retire now.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Hey, give me a sense of some of the music you've written. I mean, some of the top 20 you mentioned.
It was a song called, oddly enough, Southern Women. It was a group called the Wright Brothers, not to be confused with Orville and Wilbur. Yeah. they were on Mercury, I think. But that was probably the highest, charting. And I had like 8 or 9 songs on The Young and the Restless, and I never even knew it. Yeah, it was weird. This friend of mine in Baton Rouge called me, and she said, I just heard one of your songs on The Young and the Restless. I said, no way. So I called the publisher, and it's like, that's what they call in the business mailbox money. When you just go to the mailbox, it's like, oh, a check. That's great. Yeah, so that was a lot of fun, too.
Well, that's cool. So how long, do you still have a sort of a music career aspect to what you do? Are you mostly promoting? What's your gig these days?
For the last 8 years, I was a chef. I had a restaurant here on Moon Lake, and it was fine dining, New Orleans influence, and I sold it. And since I've sold it, now I'm like getting back into, the entertainment world.
Why don't we do this? When we get back on the other side, we'll continue this conversation about John Mohead, and he's a singer, songwriter, musician, and promoter of a Delta Rising event that's going to be coming up on April the 27th. We'll continue the conversation when we get on the other side.
Passion and love for Mississippi is why he's here. This is the Ricky Matthews Show on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to the Ricky Matthews Show from the Citizens Bank Studio, and we're having a conversation with John Mohead, who is a singer, songwriter, musician, and promoter of an event that's coming up here in Coastal Mississippi called Delta Rising. On April the 27th. We'll give you a few more details about that here in just a second. But let's go back to you, John. It's interesting. You kind of slip in the conversation that you've written some music that has been in the top 20. You're Young and the Restless. You've done some of your own performing. You toured with Bob Dylan. You were a chef. It just keeps slipping out, all these things that you've done. You're a pretty eclectic guy.
Either that or I have a short attention span. I don't know which. Probably the latter.
Well, John, have you done these Delta Rising events in other communities?
We did the first one in Oxford last April at the Powerhouse. And we had a great response from it. The Yagna Matapa Arts Council loved it and, encouraged us to, that we could do this nationwide, if we wanted to. So we are developing it. I've got a director, Jenna Welch from San Francisco, her forte is actors and acting and scripts. So we've got a couple of actors involved that help tell the story. Initially I wanted to get like Delta characters and bring them, with us and put them on stage and let them talk. But Delta characters are not predictable, so you never know what they might say. So when I met with Jenna, she's like, we'll just take the character and then we'll, get an actor to portray that. And then we can actually control them.
Yeah. You know what, though? That's a great idea. But I love the concept, combining... I mean, we'll get into some of the musicians that you're bringing in, but you're bringing in you're talking about dyed-in-the-wool blues. That's the kind of folks you're bringing into the conversation. But it's not just about the music. It's about the culture. It's about the food. As you pointed out, it's about the art. But it's not, it's not like going to the Grand Blues Zero Club and having a drink and listening to some good music, although there's some part of that in there. But it's about experiencing this eclectic contribution of food to the Mississippi Delta. It's giving people a Delta experience. And, you think about it, I had the opportunity to chat with Bill Luckett. That was the probably last long form conversation he did. We had an hour long conversation. For people who don't know who Bill Luckett is, he was the former mayor of Clarksdale, and He's was Morgan Freeman's partner in the Ground Zero Blues Club. And when we talked, they were in the process of building the Black Sea one. This is sort of the first outgrowth of the brand of the blues, of the Grand Blues, Zero Blues Club. But I had the opportunity to chat with him about, at any one time when he went into the Ground Zero Blues Club in Clarksdale, at any given time, 50% or more of the people who were there aren't even from the United States. You know, they've come there from Australia and Europe and all over the world. They're just soaking it up. So I think she's right in that an authentic experience, when you combine art and food and music together, could have some serious legs to it. You've got to be pretty excited about the concept that this thing is coming together.
Yeah, I am. It's like, you know, you hit the nail on the head earlier when you were talking about Chula. It's like, so how do you can't get everybody to come to Chula, you know, and experience Big Daddy's. And I know exactly the place you're talking about.
Yeah.
But so we were just like, let's just take a little bit of this and give people a, you know, lack of a better word, a taste of, you know, what the Delta is. And because it is unique. I mean, just like the coast is unique. I mean, it's the more layers you peel back, the more you realize how unique it really is and what the influences were. But this started, I don't know, a year and a half ago. I was driving south. I was going, you know, Itabena that way, you know, those wide open expanses, and just noticing how many of the sloughs and, you know, bayous and stuff, the cypress trees were dead or dying. And probably, you know, from, you know, being sprayed with Roundup too many times, you know, by an airplane. And then, like, the following week, I was going to Tunica, and I start seeing, you know, like these 600-foot windmills that are going up right next to Highway 61. And I'm just thinking, okay, we're losing the 400-year-old cypress, but we're gaining a 600-foot, you know, windmill. It's like, how, you know, what a contrast, you know, with the Delta. So anyway, it's like the Delta as we knew it growing up in the 80s, you know, it's just doesn't exist like that. And so this show is one, you know, the food, but it's the music. It's not all blues. I mean, it's blues, yeah, is obviously an influence, but it's not all blues. Fish Mickey, who was with the Tangents, phenomenal piano player. I mean, and they were influenced by blues, but, you know, they did their own brand of, you know, boogie, rock, whatever you want to call it. I mean, yeah, you know, very unique. We do a couple of their songs in the show. We do some Staple Singers stuff. You know, Staple Singers songs, just kind of Pop Staples just exemplified the groove or the rhythm of what the Delta is, you know. And a lot of their songs are pretty uplifting too. And that's kind of, you know, the show wants, we want to elevate you. We want to bring you up. We want to, you know, make you appreciative and leave there with a smile on your face, you know.
And an understanding of the impact that Mississippi's had on the music scene around the world. I mean, I can't overstate that, because it's that significant. So where is the event going to be held? Give us some of the details.
It's April 6th at the Mary C. O'Keefe Theater in downtown Ocean Springs. Tickets you can get online at the Mary C. .art/theater, or call the Mary C. And that gets you admission. It gets you a signature cocktail. It gets you a tasting menu of all this food that I've been mentioning, and the music. I mean, it's like you can't beat it.
So April. So actually, I may have said this incorrectly at one point in the conversation. What I have on my list here is April 27th. So just to be very clear, it is April the 6th, right?
Yeah, don't show up on the 27th.
Don't come on the 27th. We'll definitely get that right. April the 6th. But you know what? Of course, Kyle is, as usual, for our Super Talk TV audience and our YouTube and Facebook audiences, he's already sort of given you a sense of what the poster looks like. And by the way, that's my good friend Robert Johnson, who is that? Who that is?
That is. It's an artist interpretation.
I studied him so greatly, and you know, I think one of the first members of the 27 Club, you know, with Kurt Cobain and Morrison and others, you know, what an incredible impact, not to be discovered for so many years after. And for people to study that guitar riff and to say, how did he do that? When you think about the impact on the Rolling Stones and Bob Dylan, who tried to figure out this guy who could play the guitar and sound like two guitar players, but he was one guitar player. What an interesting story. What a mysterious story of the crossroads and all that comes with that. He's such a mythical figure, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. More so than, well, he and Charlie Patton, probably both. Charlie Patton didn't quite have the notoriety, but Robert Johnson was so, you know, there again, you hit the nail on the head. His playing ability was unlike any other. I mean, look at those photographs, the two known photographs of him, and his fingers look like they're, you know, 6 inches long. I mean,
incredibly long, yeah. Right? And he'd bring that thumb over and do whatever he did. Just incredible. It's incredible. And you know what's interesting? You don't when an untrained person listens to his music, they really can't appreciate what they're listening to. You as you're a guitar player. I'm assuming that you're just a string player because you showed me a mandolin a second ago. But when you listen to him, what do you hear?
Mozart with a six string, cat gut guitar. I mean, it's real intricate. And, you know, when people like Eric Clapton have spent his lifetime trying to emulate some of them, you know, are easier than others, but my gosh, man, his use of melody, you know, people don't think it's not 1-4-5, you know, structure. He's using seven minor chords. He's using twos. It's amazing what he did.
And he only, I think he only recorded 29 songs in his whole life. So I think if I remember that right, that's what it was. And I've listened to every single one of them multiple times trying to decipher it all, you know. But listen, John Mohead, I can't wait to, come back again before the April the 6th event. And we'll get joined by some of the folks that are going to be involved in the event and talk, you know, really detail about what people can experience. But it's been a pleasure to meet you. I can't wait to have you back.
You too. Appreciate it. Yeah. Can't wait to take it back.
You bet. Hey, listen, when we come back, we're going to continue a really interesting conversation. We'll see you after this.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.